Welcome to the CEN Show, the voice of the world community. On September 12th, on Conscious Corner, Professor Amin-Ra and historian Joe Hembry provided us with an excellent presentation with current topics and history related to Black people. Let me show you the website, and also let me show you YouTube so you would know where to access the show. Here's the website. You go to podcast and you scroll down, and it's not up here yet. My tech person will put it up soon because I spoke with her today and sent her the name of the topic, but it will be right here within a day or two, maybe this evening. So let's go to the YouTube channel. Here we are right here. This is where you can access it. And it was Conscious Corner, Black Community News Forum with Professor Amin-Ra and historian Joe Hembry. It was an excellent show. And I encourage everyone to go check it out. And the YouTube channel is Community Education Network. Okay. I am your host, Rasaki Maskani. I would like to introduce the panel this evening. We have Professor Amin-Ra, which is he's en route, and he will be on shortly, but he's on listening at the moment. We got Brother Mashinda, and I'm about to introduce our guest for this evening. Tonight's topic is abortion, the modern post-pregnancy prophylactic. Tonight's guest is one of our regulars and our team member, Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas has been on the show 8 times, counting this evening. And every time, I thoroughly enjoy his content. I encourage people to go watch him on the other 7 shows that he did because they're excellent. And they're on the website. And they're also on YouTube. Welcome back, Brother Thomas. Thanks for your commitment to our platform. And you have the floor.
Alhamdulillah. First, I'd like to get permission of Baba Ra to continue my presentation out of respect for my elder.
Yeah, I think you have his permission. He's actually en route, so he's not able to talk at this time.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who appeared in the person of Master Muhammad, to whom praise due forever. And I bear witness the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, exalted Christ and Holy Apostle. And I further bear witness the Honorable Farrakhan's divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide in our midst today, and long-awaited Messiah. I greet my beloved brothers in the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. All right. Today, my name is Brother Thomas. And I did a previous presentation about a couple weeks ago, and it was titled Reproduction Evolution, All Offspring Must Pay It Forward. And that kind of brought about this presentation. It's kind of like a second half of that presentation. And this presentation is something that I felt was most necessary based upon a lot of the issues that have been going on today as it pertains to the abortion rights that have been challenged by the Congress and the Supreme Court justice as it pertains to pro-life, pro-choice. It's a real big issue today, and it's been something that I've seen a lot of our people, Black women in particular, a lot of people of color, Black women in particular, have been championing alongside with Caucasian women. And there's been a history of whenever Black women champion a cause alongside of a Caucasian woman, there's been a history of whenever Black men or Black people champion a cause beside Caucasian people, that our purpose is skewed and overpowered by their purpose. And our goals and aspirations as it pertains to that cause are not the same based upon the atrocities that we've experienced. So it brought about the what I felt was the need to develop this presentation on this platform called Abortion, the Modern Day Prophylactic. And basically this just, I've grown to understand that out of all the different ways in which contraception has been used to prevent pregnancy, to enable two people, two consensual adults to consent to reproductive acts without responsibility of what such acts can create, contraception has been used to, what I can say, relieve that responsibility of the divine act that was committed by two consenting, hopefully, adults. It's contraception is a multi-million dollar industry. And now abortion has been integrated into that list of contraception as something that is a viable option to prevent pregnancy, prevent one from going full term into pregnancy. My position is, after what began as one of the most racist acts to mislead the courts in the 20th century, Roe versus Wade in 1973, resulted in women taking the first of many steps to being the sole decision makers in choosing whether a human life, human being, and lives, human being either lives or dies, all while under the guise of my body and my choice. So as a result of Roe versus Wade, it gave women an exceptional power for the first time to choose after consensual reproduction, to gave them the sole power to decide whether or not to allow that child to live or die. Under the mantra of my body, my choice. My position continued. Roe versus Wade reduced a consensual act of reproduction between man and woman to an alt-leftist act of excluding the male from having any decision-making influence in determining the future of a child that he, with the consent of the woman, helped to produce. As a result of Roe versus Wade, women have taken full advantage of the right to terminate the innocent life of an unwanted pregnancy as a product of a wanted and consensual act of reproduction. And it's a little bit, it's disturbing to me that Roe versus Wade, the whole way in which that court proceeding began, was based upon an age-old atrocity that has victimized the Black family throughout the ages of us being here in the wilderness of North America, being forced to endure the most inhumane of treatments. And let me explain. There's a dirty little secret about the racist history of Roe versus Wade. In 1969, a 21-year-old Norma became pregnant for the third time and wanted to have the baby killed. But Texas law prohibited abortions except in certain cases. So she claimed that she'd been raped by a group of Black men. This ploy failed due to the lack of police evidence. An attempt to get an illegal abortion also failed. I got this from an article posted there in the references. I want to show a video of her confessing that the charges or the accusation that she made was false. And being the fact that she's in Texas, one of the most racist states in America, that has a history of murder, lynching, even to this day, killing Black men and women with impunity. She chose to use an excuse that many Caucasian women have used in the past that resulted in the lynching, castration, the burning from flesh, burning of flesh from bone, the riddling with bullets, the excruciating torture of Black men, surrounded by an audience of well-entertained, hooting, hollering, laughing, screaming fanatics, ripping the brother apart for a crime that he was blamed for because of a traditional legacy of racism. Blame a Black man for something that never happened. Here's a portion of the video.
Jean Rose's story was a terrible one. She said she had been gang raped, gotten pregnant, was desperate to get an abortion. That's what everyone believed, as long as Jane Roe remained anonymous. When she went public, she told a different story.
You were raped while you were in Georgia?
No, I wasn't.
You were not?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, so all those stories that are in the books and so forth are not true?
Yes, sir. Yes.
They're not true.
Right. And it turned out that lying wasn't the only embarrassment this darling of the pro-choice forces presented. In her personal treatise published last year, Norma McCorvey told the story of her somewhat sordid life. Then she still adamantly supported abortion. Now she adds that to the list of sins she took with her into the baptismal pool.
I've cheated people out of money. I've sold drugs. I was an abusive alcoholic for, you know, many, many years. I've done a lot against his teachings. But I think the far greater sin that I did was to be the plaintiff in Roe versus Wade.
All right. So, you know, this Caucasian woman wasn't like the pinnacle of upstanding Caucasians. She was a poor Caucasian at the bottom rung of Caucasian status. Yet she was used as a poster person to begin the court proceeding that led to the legalization of abortion, which then evolved into My Body, My Choice, which then evolved into more women of color, Black in particular, using this method as a means of contraception, terminating a pregnancy without the consent, without taking into consideration, without even including the person upon whom she consented to reproduce with. Does anybody have any comments before, or questions or anything before I move on?
You want me to go around the panel?
Yes, sir.
All right. Brother Mashenda, question or comment thus far?
Not at this point. Thank you.
Professor Ron?
Not at this point. I'm going to catch up.
Okay. Historian Joe Hembrick?
I haven't heard a word. I just tuned in, so I don't know nothing to ask.
Okay. You can continue, Brother Thomas.
All righty. The problem or consequences of Roe versus Wade. The majority of abortions are for women in their 20s. Women in their 20s accounted for more than half of abortions, 56.9%, according to the report by Centers for Disease Control in 2019, the last year that the data was available. Women aged 20 to 24, 25 to 29 years accounted for the highest percentage of abortions, 27.6 to 29.3% respectively, and had the highest abortion rates, 19 and 18.6 abortions per 1,000 women aged 20 to 24 and 25 to 29 years respectively. It's just blown out of proportion. The reason that, if you think about the reason that the role individual used to justify an abortion, it was rape. She clearly had consensual reproduction with a man that she thought loved her. It didn't work out. She was hurt. It was her third child, and she chose rape. Not only just any rape, she chose to blame the rape on Black men. Being a Caucasian female, that would be the coup de grace of rape. To be impregnated by a group of Black men. And that brings up another topic that we'll discuss a little bit later. Are there any justifications for abortion? And if so, what are they? And what can we do to make sure that those justifications aren't once again blown out of proportion and evolve into abortion being used as a modern day form of contraception and or modern day prophylactic? Some more consequences of the Roe versus Wade. Women of color have the most abortions. Among the 30 areas that reported race by ethnicity data for 2019, non-Hispanic white women and non-Hispanic Black women accounted for the largest percentage of all abortions. Non-Hispanic white women have 33.4% of all the abortions in this nation. And non-Hispanic Black women have 38.4%. I want you to pay close attention to those numbers, because as we all are very familiar with, Caucasians don't legalize something as destructive as abortion without a plan. Without a plan. A plan that privileges and advantages them, while at the same time disadvantages and compromises another group, traditionally those that are not non-white and non-Hispanic and white. Also, non-Hispanic and white women had the lowest abortion rate, 6.6 abortions per 1,000 and ratio of 117 abortions per 1,000 live births. But non-white Black women, non-Hispanic Black women had the highest abortion rate of 23.8 abortions per 1,000 women and a ratio of 386 abortions per 1,000 live births. This is not a coincidence. This was the purpose of Roe versus Wade. A lot of our sisters and brothers jump on the bandwagon whenever the government tells us to do something. We obediently submit without thinking about the consequences. Abortion is at the top of the list of one of those things. Consequences. The majority of women who abort are unmarried. Among the 42 areas that reported by marital status for 2019, 14.5 of the women who obtained an abortion were married and 85.5 were unmarried. The abortion ratio was 46 abortions per 1,000 live births for married women and 394 abortions per 1,000 live births for unmarried women. I don't think it's a coincidence that in 2022, the 21st century, the woman in America that is least likely to get married is the Black woman. They say over 70% of Black women either have never been married or are single and will never get married, that are divorced and never will get married again. They are all clumped old, 70%. I don't think it's a coincidence. The majority of women who abort are mothers. Among the 45 areas that reported the number of previous live births for 2019, 40.2% of women had no previous child. 24.5% had one. 20% had two. 9.2% had three. And 6.0% had four or more children. In total, a significant majority of women who had an abortion, 59.8% had previously had a child. I think that's the pattern. That's the pattern. Our sisters, they'll have a child. They'll have a child or children. But after being disappointed, after being let down, after being deserted, after socioeconomic conditions, not taking responsibility from the brother who chose to be a inactive father. But socioeconomic conditions are prevalent, and they're relevant in the cause of the breaking up of the Black family. Black men unable to fulfill their role as providers. Black women being told that they could get on welfare without a Black man, and also being given more opportunity in the workforce, that has affected the marriage percentages. Also, high incarceration rates of Black men, high anti-reproductive behavior Black men who don't even want to look at women, but instead look at themselves, not even attracted to women. Black men that are not even attracted to Black women. All those factors leave our sisters unmarried. I don't think it's a coincidence. Another consequence, almost half had more than one abortion. Among the 44 areas that reported the number of previous induced abortions for 2019, the majority of women, 58.2%, had previously had no abortions, while 23.8% had previously had one abortion, 10.5% had previously had two abortions, 7.5% had previously had three abortions. Altogether, 41.8% of the women had an abortion in 2019 had previously had at least one abortion. Most women who abort are educated. Almost one in four, 24% of women who had an abortion in 2014 were currently attending school. That number includes 72% of minors and 53% of 18 and 19-year-olds. Only 14% of those currently in school had not graduated from high school. About two in three, 66%, had some college or a college degree, suggesting, according to Guttmeier, that most abortion patients who were students were pursuing post-secondary degrees. So the most heinous act of not taking responsibility of a life that was consensually produced. Somehow, educated women are of a high percentage of getting abortions. See, I mean, the women's liberation movement has liberated women to the point where anything that they feel men aren't doing because of whatever the reason is a justification for them terminating pregnancies that they consented to produce. The women's rights, women's lib movement, the feminist movement of Caucasian women having problems with the sexism, chauvinism, and the restriction of rights and privileges that have been imposed upon them by their Caucasian male, they have influenced other women of different groups to champion their cause. When the men of those different groups have not the history of chauvinism, sexism, mass rape, and the stripping of power, influence, rights, and privileges as the Caucasian man has towards his woman. But she has been successful in recruiting women of color to champion her cause, no matter if they're educated or not. consequences. Most women who abort are low income. This is not a coincidence. Almost half of 49% reported having family incomes of less than 100% of the federal poverty level, equivalent to less than $21,720 for a family of three in 2020, but a majority were not even in poverty. More than one in four, 26%, had incomes that were 100%, 199% of the poverty threshold, between $21,720 and $43,223, while in one in four, 25%, had incomes of 200% or more of the poverty threshold, $43,440 or greater. What does those numbers say? What do those numbers say? It says that poor Black and brown women, they have a high percentage of abortions. However, middle class and well-to-do Caucasian women also have high percentages of abortion. That is the national that's the national epidemic right now for Caucasian right wingers. Roe versus Wade was not meant for white women to utilize in mass. It was not meant for them to be aborting white babies when, according to statistics of population growth, Caucasians have a birth dearth. They're experiencing a birth dearth. They're experiencing that they're dying more than they're reproducing. There are more adults than they have reproducing capable children. Black and brown in particular, we have more children, more reproducing children or people than we have adults that can't reproduce. So we have a birth growth. Caucasians suffer from a birth dearth. And while they suffer from a birth dearth, which I do believe nature has chosen them to be slowly removed from the planet based upon all the machinations and things that they have done to the entire population of people of color on the planet and the trauma that they have imposed on the planet through the exploitation of natural resources, the pollution that they have caused on every scale. The planet has spoken and has found Caucasian people wanting. And because of that, along with their increased abortion rates, they are like, we got to get rid of Roe versus Wade, which is a plus, and we got to find a way to kill off these Black and brown people by chemicalizing the food, water, air, the medical industry, vaccinations, whatever we can use to sterilize them unknowingly yet knowingly. Doesn't matter if they know or not. We tell them to do it, they do it. More than one in three women, most women who abort identify as Christian. More than one in three women surveyed, 38%, did not identify with any religion. However, about one in four identified as Roman Catholic, about 17 identified as mainline Protestant, while 13% identified as evangelical Protestant. Altogether, 54% of women who had an abortion identified with a Christian tradition, another 8% identified with some other religion. So somehow, abortion has superseded the will of God. Even though the act of reproduction is a consensual act of reproduction between male and female, they have nothing to do with whether that the seed fertilizes the egg, resulting in the successful consummation of its child. They have nothing to do with that. They have nothing to do with that fetus defying the laws of impossibility, floating down from the bottom of the fallopian tubes into the uterus, clinging itself to the wall of the uterus, defying the natural body's instinct to create antibodies to get rid of a foreign object. It defies all that. That is not, that has nothing to do with man or woman. Yet now they have taken God out of the equation and have decided to kill what they had no power, no influence to create. They just were used as vessels to begin the process. They were used as conduits of creation. But the act of determining whether or not this moment is going to take place to fertilize this egg that's going to defy the laws of impossibility, cling to the uterus, survive the foreign environment, the hostile environment, the acids, the antibodies, and survive, that's all divine. Abortion has become one of the most effective prophylactics. Before I start, does anybody have any questions, comments before I continue?
Let me go around the panel. Okay, Sister Make It Happen.
Greetings, family.
Greetings.
Hotel.
Thanks for coming.
Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum salam, my sister Shabazz.
And alafia to all. But so I got on just a few minutes ago because, of course, I want to be here to support the presentation and the information being shared. And right now I'm really intrigued to hear more because I got on, you know, a few minutes late, and it's definitely something important to talk about. And so I look forward to hearing the rest of the presentation.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Brother Hembrick.
Just, you know, and taking some of the stuff. A quick question, brother. All these statistics that you're coming up with, where'd you get this stuff from?
I just researched it online and pulled from several different sources, kind of measured and weighed the ones I felt were most accurate based upon what were said on several different sources.
Or can you name of just a few of them so Brother Hembrick could, you know, just in case you want to cross-reference?
Okay. Well, let me see.
I know you named one of them earlier.
All right. I have one on the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. That's where I got all my sources from right here. I got it from, it said Demographics of Abortion in America. It's an article in the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Did you get something from the CDC? Not the CDC, but it was earlier in the presentation, your first reference. Where was that?
Oh, the first, dealing with the Roe versus Wade, I had also got that from an article that talked about, it was on the presentation. It was a trumpet. It was an article that I had gotten online, and I had gotten that article, and I backed it up with another article to make sure the information was valid. It was the trumpet. It's a trumpet.
It was one of the major, you had something on here, one of the major, like, it was sort of like the CDC. It was.
Yeah, I mean, I did. The article that I referred, it has references at the end of it that pertain to, like, the Guttmacher Institute, the CDC as well.
Okay.
Was mentioned, it's the article, yeah, the Center for Disease Control in 2019, they had did something dealing with abortion for women in their 20s. Yeah, that was the one that you talked. That's where I got the information from, basically.
Okay, Brother Hembrick, any more questions?
Well, you know, just a
comment.
That's a comment. I don't know when they started, you know, gathering these statistics, but I know from just living back in the day, I thought the, you know, the white female was having abortions in a lot more abundance than the sisters were back in the day. You mentioned the fact about the, you know, the black male not being in the home and the sisters having babies, getting on the county. I know that was like several decades that they were playing that card. And it was my belief that although the white girls were having, you know, many more abortions than black girls were, it wasn't publicized as much during those times. I don't know what it is in the last 20 years, but I know like from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, I knew it to be different. Now, one thing I will agree with, like during my college days, a lot of sisters who did get pregnant would get abortions, you know, because they had other, you know, aspirations like higher education and whatnot, and didn't really have time, you know, for children and whatnot. But that's just, you know, my personal experience that I had from my years, but about to be 69 in a minute. So, you know, because I can remember back during my college days, I could think about four or five that aborted, you know, because they had other things in mind about what they call demons, you know, being successful in life. And off the abortion point, something I like to bring up that I think is of serious nature also is after the child gets here, as far as the black family goes, and although they may not be together, how sisters do to a brother not being financially able to do all that's necessary, you know, denying them access to their child is a big problem. Just because a brother doesn't have money doesn't mean he can't impart other things to his child. And I hear a lot of sisters do that because they can't pay the support. But, you know, there's other things other than monetary things that a man can impart to his children. And that's just a subject I think needs to be talked about and discussed, because it's really harming the child as the child is growing up. I know a brother right now, he hadn't been able to see his son in 2 years behind stuff like that. And he's a nice brother. Ain't no thug, ain't nothing, you know, works hard, and I'm trying to get him hooked up with a boogie right now so that he can get that off of him. But this is something that we need to address also. But anyway, that's all I'm going to talk about right now. I'll let you get on with your asking questions, Rasha Key.
All right, yes, thank you.
I'd like to comment real quick on and say that was a prolific statement that you made as it pertains to back in the days when Caucasian women were the main ones, you know, publicized and getting abortions initially. That's how it usually is. It's similar like the AIDS epidemic. AIDS began as a Caucasian male homosexual disease that they actually call GRIDS, gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. But in actuality, it was intended for the black population in America and abroad. So now we have over three decades later, and predominantly black and brown people, women and children have AIDS, as if they somehow got interested in Caucasian males who never liked women in the first place. And somehow they got the AIDS, you know, AIDS virus from screwing gay Caucasian males that never liked women in the first place. So I think what I'm saying is, according to Nellie Fuller, something that me and Brother Rasha Key tend to quote, he says that Caucasians in the beginning of a machination used to harm black people in a very severe way, they always have white sacrifices. They sacrifice white people first to make it look like it's not an attack on us. Caucasian women were used as a sacrifice. The ones who were getting abortions was poor white trash. Sacrificial. Just like gay white males. Sacrificial. And then when the true intended population had gotten it, we couldn't vocalize racism and injustice, because they'll say, well, what are you talking about? Caucasian people died from it too. Well, look at 30 years later. Now we have that we're predominantly the AIDS, we're the AIDS diagnosed in Africa, 75 to 80% of us AIDS, but now Black women are coming up with internally a nature to destroy the AIDS virus from within, because that's how powerful we are. But it still was used in that fashion. So was abortion. But now it's backfired. Just like crack cocaine, it's backfired. It wasn't an issue until it started really affecting white people. Now crack is an issue. It ain't an issue now, but yeah, more white people are getting abortions. But when you look at the proportion of population, there's less Black people in America. So when you look at the numbers, Black women are probably getting abortion less than white women. But according to the disproportion of population, Black women are still at the top in terms of abortion rates. I thank you for your comment, brother.
Okay, Professor Rock.
Appreciate what's been said. If I understand correctly, anyone said scientific presentation thus far. Just a couple quick questions, and then maybe the answer is further down in your presentation. But what is the goal of the presentation with regards to abortion? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I mean, what's the position?
Yes, sir.
Should women, men, should abortions be done? Are you against them? What is the position?
Yes, sir. That's going to be covered later, but I'll briefly just state it. I believe that consensual reproductive acts, like any other species on the planet Earth, they should, the two people that consented to the act of reproduction are responsible for the life that has been ordained to be a product of that union. Rape and at-risk pregnancies that may cause the physical life of the woman and or child should also be mandated to medical and procedural abortions. A woman must have the, you know, fallopian fortitude, the ovarian audacity to immediately go to the necessary authorities and report the assault as quickly as possible so that she can be.
In other words, you're saying she has to prove it.
She has to. And it has to be a rape kit. It has to be a rape kit investigation, and the person must be prosecuted in order for that abortion.
Is there a difference between consensual sexual behavior and consensual sexual activity? Consensual sexual procreation, in other words, having sex for the purpose of having a child, and then later on to get rid of it, or just people who just, because of modern day medicine stuff, are more loose with their sexual activity, and they're consenting adults as far as the sex, but not for the child. Somebody you meet and you like them, they look good, you know, you just got high, drank or something, and you just want to have a good time, or you single and you just want to satisfy your urge, but you didn't want a child out the deal, or neither one of you, or either, you know, I mean, is that different between consensual reproduction versus consensual sexual activity?
There is a difference, like you said, about one's goal. One going into it with the intention of reproducing and being okay if an offspring is produced, and one consenting to reproductive activities, hoping that this act does not result in an offspring being reproduced. And my argument is, you know, we are superior organisms on the planet. There is no other organism as intelligent. Well, dolphins and whales, but they're not superior. They're restricted and but we're superior. And we have all these, contraceptives that I'm about to list. We have all these things that we can do. And then you mentioned irresponsible reproductive activities, you know.
Consensual adults having sex is not
irresponsible.
Irresponsible. I mean, people can have responsible sex with contraceptive activity. But my point is that, go back to my original question. So if two adults who had sex for whatever reason other than procreation, because you were saying consensual, for the act of reproduction, and I'm saying consensual for just sexual activity, and they both say, "Hey, we want to get. I didn't mean to have no baby. I just met you up. You know, we ain't that deep. I ain't got no money." Whatever reason, she's in college or whatever. They just say, "Hey, look, I was just trying to satisfy my urge, or for whatever reason, we had sex, but we not married. We not this is and but they decide to have an abortion."
That's relegated as irresponsible reproductive activity.
That's what you define as reproductive. Irresponsible.
You don't see the act of reproduction. We all, like you said, the last presentation, the only reason why we're given the act of reproduction is to reproduce. That's the only reason that we're given it. It being made into a recreational activity is an unnatural devaluing of the act of reduction. You call it sex instead of reproduction is a way for you to demote the action into a recreational activity, into a high five, into a drink, into a few drinks, into a party, into a molly, into a celebration, into Halloween, Christmas party, whatever the freak is irresponsible. The sole purpose is reproduction. The two people in college, the two people involved, they must be like, look, this act can result in reproduction. And you know what? I'm an adult and you're an adult. And even though we're doing things to protect ourselves that are not 100% effective, if reproduction does take place, we're both adults and we will take care of this child, either together or not. That's responsible reproductive activity. Under the circumstances of not being married, of wanting to satisfy your desires, but satisfy your desires with moral ethic, respect for self and respect for the female. The female is the female needs to be respected more in the act of wanting to satisfy my loins.
You're saying that no one should have sex unless they intend to take care of the baby if somebody did
pregnant. Straight up. That's responsible.
Asking you a position.
That's my position.
No one should have sex.
No. Not if you are not, if you're not ready and agree that, hey, this is a risk because reproduction was made to reproduce, it was given to us to reproduce like all 99.999% of all other species. We're like 0.01 of that, 0.001 humanity is compared to all the other species. Every one of them reproduce for the purpose of having an offspring. We're the only ones that question that. That is an anomaly.
Well, I don't know why other species have sex and if their goal is to reproduce, because many of them have different type of sex. But the point is, I'm trying to stay with your point, because there's a difference between contraceptive and prophylactic. Prophylactics is to prevent diseases, and contraceptive is as a form of birth control to try to prevent a birth So you don't have to have an abortion, but still have the sexual activity. Is that right?
No, sir. A prophylactic is a condom, and it's a pill, and it's a diaphragm, and it's an injection. A prophylactic is also synonymous with pregnancy prevention.
Well, I'm not going to get into that, but we're all educated. We can get our own definition, but I just want to ask, you know, most crimes are unreported, most abortions are unreported. They got a pill that you could take the morning after that they're trying to the right wing. Do you think women shouldn't take those pills?
I believe that all the lists of prophylactic and contraceptives that we have, I guess what I can say is they're used so that in case of a reproductive act that produces an offspring, like we just said, there's ways in which they can post-prevent. The plan B pill is just in case crap happens. They don't even know if they're pregnant. It's just in case crap happens. So I wouldn't be against somebody saying, you know, let's just be sure, because we already know if I'm pregnant, we agree that we will take care of this child responsibly, either together or apart. However, we don't know if I'm pregnant. So the plan B pill is for just in case I could be.
Okay. The other question is, what about vasectomies? Should men get vasectomies? And if they do get a vasectomy, are they free to have sex without...
I love you, brother. I really don't believe in any type of a surgical procedure to compromise the integrity of a man or woman's ability to reproduce. But if they decide to compromise their reproductive organ from ever reproducing again, that's up to the individual.
Is that a form of abortion?
Abortion is after you know that there's a fetus inside of your uterus, and now you want to terminate the pregnancy after the child has already attached itself to the uterus and began developing.
All right. The other question is, you gave the religious statistic, but there's a difference between saying you're a religious affiliated and practicing a religion.
True.
And committed to a religion.
True.
Because people put down, well, I'm this and I'm that. True. Don't mean they practice it or go by its ethical or moral thing. That was the case. No Catholic. You have 1,000 Catholics all over the place. But the point is that.
Yes, sir.
My point is, so, you know, the statistics may be screwed a little bit.
Yes, because, I agree.
Because I of the distortion in people saying they're religious. But most people are not religious.
I agree.
They're not affiliated and they're not agnostic. They believe in a creator.
Yes, sir.
But they just don't believe in organized religion. Exactly. Okay, I'll let you continue.
I agree. Thank you, Baba Ra, for your awesome questions, brother, and comments. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, too.
Abortion has become, go ahead. Anybody else, brother Ross?
Well, we can see if Sister Make It Happen, if she have a comment or question now.
I do. So it's interesting. All these most effective ways to kill us is just really interesting. And so, we definitely have a lot coming at us as a people, and it requires a lot. Our families are being destroyed on many, many levels. And the families that are intact have a lot of work to do to protect themselves and their future. And so I kind of want to kind of leave it at that. It, you know, these are the realities of the system that we're in. These are the reality, and it's worldwide. It's not just here. You understand? So there's really, you know, you can't say, "Oh, I'm gonna leave here and go there," because wherever you go, these things are there.
Yes, ma'am.
And so, going forward, we have to really strengthen our families. And there's just a lot of attacks coming at us, like, you know, 360 degrees attacks coming at us. You know,
yes, ma'am.
And so, we have to be aware, we have to be wise, we have to make sacrifices, and constant sacrifices, because we are programmed and we operate in a way that is automatic.
Yes, you
know, self-destruction is there and it's automatic and we don't even know we're doing it.
That's, you know, right.
Willie Lynch is in full effect. And so I'm thankful for the information, and it's just a matter of really trying to, you know, shed light as much as you can in the age of darkness, because, you know, this is what the age we're in, and, you know, this is a great space, and we have to, you know, share more, invite more, and do what we can to wake up the dead, the walking dead, and I just don't know how else to say it, but there it is.
Hit the nail on the head. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you. Okay, Brother Thomas, you can continue.
All righty. Piggybacking off of what Baba Ra and I were talking about, I just listed the several different ways of some of different most effective prophylactics. And I wanted to compare which ones were effective and to what percent, and then compared that to abortion. It really kind of, What Professor Ra was had asked kind of really kind of set something off, like, in terms of, like, gave me a real aha moment, because we have more than enough methods to exercise more responsible reproductive activity to prevent and drastically reduce the chance of an offspring being the product of it. But he also mentioned the alcohol. You know, I just want to do up the wimp. We smoke it, we drink it, and we just did it. That's irresponsible. But look at all these methods. We have abortion, which is 95% effective. Contraceptive implant, a small flexible plastic rod that's implanted in the skin, 99% effective. I don't support a lot. Now, mind you, 99.9% of these I don't support. But I'm saying, if somebody believes in recreational reproductive activity, then they would ascribe to this. And this would be the limit of their responsibility, to not produce a child because they just want to be recreational with an act of divine reproduction. Contraceptive implant, intrauterine system, a small T-shaped plastic device being placed in the womb. Hell no. 99% effective. Intrauterine device, anything placed inside of the womb is a hell no. 99% effective. Contraceptive injection, anything injected into the woman that can compromise her menstruation and her bodily hormones that are naturally constantly firing off glands and things of that nature, hell to the no. Depo-Provera is one of the main ones shot in her arm. And you know that, if you didn't know, they use Depo-Provera to sterilize male sexual offenders. That is a replacement for them going to jail over a long period of time. They shoot them with Depo-Provera and it castrates them chemically. Why would you shoot a female with such a chemical? Contraceptive patch. The contraceptive patch is a small sticky patch that releases hormones. No. Woman is filled with hormones that makes her into a loving queen, co-creator, God, co-creator of God. Putting a patch on her that messes with her hormones, 99% effective, no. Vaginal ring, small ring inside of a female's vagina, no. Use spermicide to put that up in there. sometimes women, they're difficult to come out, and a woman can go into shock with the sponge and the ring. They go into shock and die. Contraceptive pill, no. It's linked to causing cancer, cervical cancer, abnormal menstruation, and a whole bunch of other side effects, 99% effective. Sterilization, what Barbara Ra was talking about, sterilizing through the operation, vasectomy for the male, fallopian tubes being tied or broken for the female. That's up to the individual. I am an all-natural Black man. I believe that I have the superior knowledge to calculate my wife's or my fellow gods. Releasing of the egg, her body temperature changes, her blood changes, her liquid changes. There's so many things that can be measured to tell whether that five-day egg has been released. 5 days out of the month, you only have 5 days to fertilize that egg. After that 5 days, you can have the most divine supreme reproductive acts as possible with zero chance of fertilizing that egg because it doesn't exist. It's infertile. It's like trying to fertilize a grocery store bought egg. Impossible. Condoms. You know, that form of prophylactic, 98% effective for the brothers, 82% effective for the sisters, the female condoms. Diaphragm and caps, 92 to 96% effective. Contraceptive diaphragm or cap is circular and dome and inserted in the vagina. I don't think so. Anything inserted in the vagina is a detriment to that purified home that produces life. The most effective part, this is it. This is where our superior intelligence comes into play. Natural family planning, fertility awareness. Natural family planning or fertility awareness is a method of contraception where a woman monitors, a woman and a man monitors and records the different fertility signals during her menstrual cycle to work out when she's likely to get pregnant and can be up to 99% effective. That is the pinnacle. Next to one, that's right underneath the pinnacle way in which you do it. Abstain until you're married, until you're ready to reproduce. 100% effective. And all I can say is this. I would never say do something if I did not have an example. I waited until I got married to commit the act of reproduction with a woman. We waited 6 years until we had a child because we wanted to make sure our marriage was intact and that we enjoyed being married, had a legacy of enjoy being married before we had a child. Again, medical abortion is about 95% effective, and it is clearly not the best contraceptive used to prevent pregnancy. Abortion has become one of the most effective prophylactics. But what are the health risks of abortion, real quick? Pelvic infection, incomplete abortion, parts left in, pelvic infection, bacteria left in that can cause cancer, other diseases, sterility, blood clots in the uterus that can cause severe cramping, heavy bleeding that can cause a lot of problems, cut or torn cervix while they're pulling out the fetus, compromising the integrity of the cervix, perforation of the uterus wall. That is a totally destructive process that can prevent a woman from ever having a child. The anesthesia complications. People don't know they're allergic to anesthesia until after they're anesthetized and it's too late. Rh immune globulin therapy, a genetic material found on the surface of the red blood cells. A woman and her fetus have different Rh factors. This can prevent the antibodies that from this can develop of antibodies that would endanger future pregnancies. The antibodies can develop to attack pregnancies now because of the whole Rh immune globulin factor. Now your body attacks foeti in your womb. That means you can't get pregnant again. Death, hemorrhaging, and other problems dealing with anesthesia or major blood loss that cannot be repaired or stopped. You can die from an abortion. The irony of Roe versus Wade, isn't it ironic that Roe versus Wade, the case that legalized abortion rights, was the result of a white woman making false accusations that she was gang raped by a group of Black men, an age-old accusation which led to the lynching, castration, and or the premature death of tens of thousands of Black men, is now being used by Black women to kill millions of premature Black children, resulting in Black women averaging the highest abortion rates compared to women of other groups? Oh, how ironic. Oh, how ironic. But guess what? Not a coincidence. Roe versus Wade backfired on white America. Due to the white birth dearth and increasing abortion rates among white women, Roe decision is a victory for white life. So says Representative Mary Miller, an advocate for Donald Trump. She goes up to introduce Donald Trump and she spills the beans because Caucasians, either they're not that smart or they just don't give a damn, or whether we know or not. But she said the pinnacle of what I've been talking about the whole presentation. Roe versus Wade was a victory for white life because white people are dying. The earth has spoken and found them wanting, and it's killing them off. It's preventing women from being able to go through full term. It's killing white people off early through the diseases that they're prone to from the death style culture that they practice. They're dying off. The earth has spoken, and we must be prepared for the earth passing the authority back into the hands of the original man and woman. Because our nature is to live in harmony with the planet. But she gave it away by saying it's a victory for white life because white life is threatened globally. 47% of the states have a negative birth growth of white children in America. It's even worse in European countries. Solution. The Roe decision to abolish abortion rights is a solution. Abortion should be limited to rape and extreme life-threatening at-risk pregnancies. Women must file charges on rapists in a timely manner to conduct a rape kit, leading to the investigation and conviction of the rapist. Doctors must diagnose an at-risk pregnancy that risks the life of either the mother, child, or both. Otherwise, consensual abortion should be prohibited. That's my conclusion. Any comments, questions? I want to thank you for the opportunity once again, Brother Ross. I want to thank all the beautiful young brothers and sisters that are on and giving me this opportunity and giving me your ear to express some of my concerns / research-based information that I've to offer. Thank you again.
Appreciate it, Brother Thomas. I'm gonna go through the panel again. I'll start off with Sister Make It Happen. Any last questions or comments? Sister Make It Happen. Okay, Brother Joe, I'll come back to Sister Make It Happen.
No.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I stepped away for a minute, but I'm here.
Okay, Sister Make It Happen. Any last comments or questions?
I just appreciate the research that you are presenting. I'm thankful for your time and your energy and sharing these grave statistics. We have a lot of work to do as a family, and But, you know, to God be the glory, and let's keep it going. You know, we're here for a reason, and so we're part of the solution, and we must keep focused until the casket drops. That's all I can say. We got to keep going, because what else can we do? We know what time it is. We know what battle we're dealing with. Yes, ma'am. And so we have to rely on our elders, those that are here, that came before us. Yes. And give the young people something to hold on to, a reason to, you know, be abstinent. You know, that's a weird thing, but
yeah,
if you can't deal with the outcome when you open that door, maybe don't open it. I don't know.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what I'm saying? So thank you so much. And thank you to the team, and thank you to everyone.
I'm doing a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Professor Ron.
Appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. And again, presentation. Just a couple of quick questions. Are you saying that women and their doctors, or the man and the woman and the doctor, shouldn't have the power to determine if they want an abortion or not?
I'm saying that if it's if there's a not a life-threatening at-risk pregnancy involved.
So and what should happen to them if they do it, if they get the abortion?
I would say that it's no different than killing a child.
So they should be put on trial for murder?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Second, the white population has always been a minority on the planet. And they were a majority here because of restrictions and not counting, undercounting, not counting, and things of this nature, putting the Native American on reservations and all of that. And when you say that the abortion is for white people so that they would have more kids, should be restricted so that they can have increased their population because it's dormant, as you said. Are you agreeing with the white wing on that, that like you said, you agree with the woman that said our race is dying, and that's one of the reasons they're against abortion. Do you agree with that?
I agree that Caucasians have done the research, and they recognize, according to Benjamin Wattenberg's book, The Birth Dearth, they've been knowing since the 80s that their population is depleting.
Okay.
And I agree that Caucasians, knowing this, are going to do whatever it takes to stop it. But the earth has spoken. And it found them wanting, no matter what they do. So I agree that they're scared. I agree with her statement that manifests her fear.
Oh, that's
and good. And the abortion, the Roe versus Wade decision is something to give them a little comfort as the inevitable approaches. I agree with that.
Well, I wanted to tell you how many people don't, but let me just say this. When it comes to a fertility pill, which the majority, I'd like to believe, is white people are taking, what's your position on them in contrast to that they're... You say that the majority of people getting abortions are black, but then you say that the abortion was really meant to stop white women from getting abortions. Was that what I was hearing in your narrative?
What I meant was the initial abortion, legalized abortion, was always meant for black and brown people of color, globally and nationally, to another way to kill their children to stagnate population growth. Caucasian women were used, poor white trash Caucasian females were used as a sacrifice to make it look like it was not meant for the intended population. That's called white sacrifice.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are you saying that the move to nationalize a prevention of abortions, or that a woman cannot get an abortion once she got 6 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever, nationwide, that you think that that should be the law of the land?
Most definitely. Because, see, Black people have always did what Caucasian wanted them to do. We've always done it, from the vaccine to abortions to the type of diet that we have to drinking. Can't wait to drink till we're 21. So inadvertently, the abortion, they said, you know, we were recruited for the feminist movement, a movement where Caucasian women did not want to have children by their Caucasian men. They used abortion, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. We jumped on board with the status quo, with the with what we do in support of our white slave owners, male or female. It was meant to condition us to mass abort. That's why millions of Black children die more than any other woman.
So what you're saying is Black women who support pro-choice and Planned Parenthood are you saying that they don't think for themselves? They just, white folks have co-opted them into supporting them?
That's American way.
Well, what about the men? What about the men that support it?
Same thing. If you don't have knowledge of self, if you don't have knowledge that you are God, that you are a child of God, reflection of the Most High, if you don't have knowledge of self, that you are the original man and woman, through the act of reproduction, you populated the entire planet. And what in the hell does a Johnny come lately, 6,000-year-old man, got to do telling a man and woman that's been here for trillions of years?
That's a religious teaching. Are you basing your position on your religion?
Facts.
I asked you a question, though.
I said facts. I'm not basing it wholeheartedly on religion. No, it's facts. We populated. It's a fact. We populated.
You said God.
Yeah, but I could say, you know what? I can say God, creator. I can say nature. It all happened. Nature has chosen us to populate the planet Earth. Black people are the most DNA genetically diverse people on the planet Earth. We can produce everything from the whitest of white to the darkest of dark and everything in between. We were chosen to populate. We did that. Of Johnny come lately, 6,000 years, according to the science, they've been a mutant 6,000 years. They're going to tell us how to use our reproductive organs and how to practice a reproductive practice that populated the whole planet Earth and made them, that enabled them to come into existence.
What do you mean?
What I'm saying is this: Caucasian people, according to documentation and research, they've been here for 6,000, no more than 6,600 years. That's how long they've been here. We've been here for millions of years. They can't dig deep enough without finding a dark carbonated bone skull, remnants of our existence. And they're going to come and tell us how to use our reproductive organs. They're going to create all these things to compromise the integrity of us maintaining the population diversity of the planet Earth upon which we were used to preserve, maintain, expand, and evolve humanity. That's ridiculous. Anybody that submits to that is brainwashed, has been co-opted, has been tricked, bamboozled, led astray.
And I'm pretty sure the people that believe different feel the people that have the views, other views, are tricked too.
I agree.
My point is that, you know, life is undetermined as far, it's a very complex situation. People have to make choices based on their economics and based on their condition, based on their personal beliefs. But when you start saying that you believe that the same white person that you believe oppress us can make laws to govern us? The oppressor can't be your teacher. I mean, they got laws against murder, but people still kill. They got laws against drug selling, but people still sell them. They got laws against stealing, people still steal. And they can have all the laws they want against abortions. That's not going to stop people from getting abortions. Is that fair to say?
That is actually fair to say, yes, sir. Okay. And it's deeper than me doing a presentation. It's about human, it's about creating a nation that feeds the ambition of every human being born so that every human being can fulfill the divine purpose upon which they were created. And they can participate in governing and maintaining a society of peace and harmony where everybody gets the quality, has access to the quality of life's necessities, food, clothing, and shelter. If that be the case, if everybody had access to the quality of life upon which we had access to by working hard in our respective continents, abortion didn't exist back then. Men did not sit up there, scientists, the most elite doctors we had in our respective continents did not sit there and create a method to kill a child, even though we knew the herbs that we had that were that could kill a child in the womb based upon the birth being an at-risk pregnancy, something that can kill or harm the mother. But we didn't create mass abortion methods to kill the life that consensual reproductive acts produced. That's a product of this man, this kind of man,
but
who's depleting in population, and now wants to fight to the end.
But
like, if I can't have the earth, nobody can have the earth.
I'm my position on that. Yeah. You know, but my concern is when you have a child, it's more than just having a baby.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's a commitment to the well-being of that baby.
Yes, sir.
Now you're in a capitalistic society, mm-hmm. that you need money. You got so many homeless kids out there and so many kids that's living with foster and other parents for whatever reason.
Yes, sir.
But they have to deal with the environment they're in. Now, when you go back a long time ago, that was a different environment.
Yes, sir.
You understand? If you go back to the continent of Africa, you know, before the European came, that's a whole different thing. Before there was the Holocaust of enslavement, the colonialization and all that, that's a whole different thing.
That's right.
You practice your own culture and your own values. You had your own power then.
Yes, sir.
But when you're under somebody else's rule to set the game that make it depressing, just the other day, this sister in Coney Island in New York drowned her three kids, a sister. Yeah, maybe mentally ill, maybe because of financial reason, maybe because the dude didn't want her no more. You know, I mean, is it to hurt him? I don't know. But you're in a racist environment and capitalistic and sexist. Black women are double discriminated against. They discriminate because they're black, and they discriminate because they're a woman. This is a cap racist, sexist, and capitalistic society. And many black women are poor because of racism and sexism when it comes down to salaries and when it comes down to jobs and it comes down to programming them to just have babies and raise them. And, you know, and the role of welfare and the role of Medicare and all those type of things, there are women that say, look, I'm 30 years old. I'm going to have a baby. I'm working. I don't care if the man helps or not. I just want a baby. So to prove I'm not a lesbian or just because I just want to have one. There are women like that, professional women. You understand that, like you said, the marriage statistic is a problem. You understand? Because young men are not raised to get married. Back in the old days, they were. You know, you were raised, you know, that's part of your manhood, to get a woman, keep a woman, and take care of a woman. And the woman stay home and help and take care of the kids. Then women decide, hey, no, you know what? I don't want to do that. I want to work. I want to make money. I want to do other things. I want my own liberation. And what I'm trying to get from you is, what role do the women have in making these decisions about their bodies and about their conditions that you would accept other than medical or death for an abortion?
I feel you, Dr. Professor Rock.
It's out of their control, the society. They don't control the society. They're just as much victimized as everybody, you know.
See, this is the thing I was talking to my students today. I said that the woman, the female species of any animal on the planet Earth, they are the last, the first, the last, and the everything determine whether or not a reproductive act takes place consensually. They determine whether a relationship happens. They have all the power. They give us the power to provide for them, to secure. They put their own ability to secure themselves in our hands. They consent. A woman must make the right decisions. She has all the power. Society, the Caucasian man, has taken the power away from his woman. She's the only woman that had to get clubbed on the back of the head and drugged to the back of the cave to reproduce with that dude. He was the only one that violated the law of women have all the power to determine who and when they reproduce with. He beat his woman into unconsciousness and raped her in the back of the cave. That's what cavemen do. They advertise that. You see it on Fred Flintstone. You see that on cartoons. You see it on documentaries. So a Black woman has all the power to make and all of the intelligence to make the most productive, righteous decision who she decides to mate with. She must evolve beyond the machinations of racism, the experience we had here. She must take us to the next level by forcing us men to work up to a standard that she has always had the power to dictate. And guess what? We in time would do it because we love to be with our women. We love to be with our women so much that some of our religious brothers are willing to compromise their soul knowing that they're going to burn in hell for adultery. And they still do it knowing that their soul, the most valuable thing that they cherish, is going to be burned and to a crisp repeatedly in this hellfire, but they do it over her. That's power that she's not using to her advantage to ensure that we men step up to the plate and humanity evolves by the choices she makes with a worthy man capable of evolving us into the next generation, creating offspring stronger than the parents that produced it. She has all the power to decide that. Birds, the males dance and do all these tricks, and the female is a brown she has no color on her fur, on her feathers. She's sitting back saying, my most valuable thing dominates any one of your colors, dances, all the things you do. I have the power to reproduce you 100-fold. I don't have to have decorations, long nails, long eyelashes, ass showing, breasts all protruding. My reproductive organ trumps everything you bring to the table. And I give you the right to secure and provide for me to preserve the environment for us to exist and evolve in the future together as husband and wife, God, king and queen. I have that right. Women are not using it properly. And we must change the dynamic of this racist society and regain those principles again so we can evolve humanity to the next level of godhood like we did when we built the pyramids. Those were godhood edifices. We lost the knowledge of building God edifices that can't be calculated and built today. That proved that we had the ability to evolve into gods until we transgressed and slipped over time. So the woman needs to get back up and choose and use her power to choose a worthy man to reproduce with that will evolve our species into gods again. The power's hers, always has been. I'll go, Brother Rossi, you muted, bro.
Okay, well, you know, this has been very interesting. And there was a few times I wanted to say some things, but I'm just be quiet. I enjoyed what I heard, and it was very interesting. And you know, everybody has their ideas. So and you know, let me just say this one thing, and I say it in my writings. If you take, and I think this is clear, if you take any ethnic person of any ethnicity, you take a male, a healthy male, and a healthy female, you can procreate. I don't care, you can be the whitest white and the blackest black, you can procreate. And the thing is with all that's in place right now, it's been one of the biggest deceptions that makes everything this way, which is the color context. You have this color context, and it's used as a weapon to confuse and deceive most people because they don't have the complete understanding of things. And then what Brother Thomas, what you talk about is basically ideal, you know, with sane people. And I think Professor Ra was trying to convey that we're not in a sane situation. True. So this is why people do all these things that they do.
Yes, sir.
And I understand that. So my position is dismantle the best way we can. We don't have any physical power, but we do have some intellectual power. And hopefully our intellect will be a part of a reprogramming of people. And when Black people eventually, enough of us, gain that intellectual mentality that we need to turn this around, it will turn around. I'm in the fight. Professor Ra's in the fight. Brother Thomas in the fight. Brother Hendricks in the fight. Sister Make It Happen is in the fight. So we just going to keep doing what we do to educate and turn this around, because like I told my students the past few days, you are what you practice. And you know, and if we're practicing righteousness and you know, being significant people in line with nature and the way things should be, it's going to change. So that's my fight, you know. So I don't have all the answers when it comes to the religious text, the history, and how these people came about and how they took over, but I do understand what's going on currently. I think I understand. And if I do understand correctly, like Professor Ross say, this is going to change with the fight. We not in change no more, but we are mentally changed. And that's what we have to fight against.
Yes, sir.
So I'm learning a lot, and I appreciate everybody and what they're doing. So I think we should end it. And then Brother Thomas, you'll be right back on again, and we're going to do the same thing and get more information and do what we do to improve. We're going to improve this situation. You know, just like Neely Fuller said, he said, my assignment is to get rid of white supremacy racism. That's his assignment. And I agree with him. And I join that. But now, Professor Rob, who do we got on Monday? What is our topic?
Ava Muhammad, Black Woman Empowerment, or something critical. That Ava Muhammad was one of the first women in the nation to become the Southern Regional representative of the Honorable Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And she also, was the first one to head a mosque. And she's done a lot of positive things as far as empowering women. And that's what I believe in, you know. And so, I take organized religion out of my belief. I think I take Malcolm's position, the religion between you and your God. And if it ain't done no more for you than what it has, you need to forget it anyway. But my position is that we're going to have her on because she was such a role model for not only sisters in the nation, but she broke barriers as a teacher and as a scholar, as a doctor and an attorney of law, where she was so strong they disbarred her one time in New York. And then she went down to Atlanta. But she's a strong, strong sister. And hopefully we play excerpts of some of her lectures.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I was able to listen to some of her lectures just recently. And some of the things she was talking about, I can identify with.
Peace.
So, yeah, I appreciate that and looking forward to it. Okay, so next week, let me show everybody who we have. Well, I can't show you, but let me tell you. We have Brother Ronnie Forrest is coming back on. He was a guest on Professor Ross' show and Joe Hembrick's show. He's coming back on, and he has two volumes of the book, Revolution in Progress. There, it's poetry. So I'm going to ask him plenty of questions about that, and then whoever comes can do the same. So that's going to be another excellent show. So I appreciate Brother Thomas, Professor Ra, and Sister Make It Happen. Yeah, that's the book right there. Those are the two books that we're going to discuss. And that's going to be excellent. And Sister Make It Happen, that's Dr. Shabazz, thanks for being here. And hopefully we see you on Monday and Wednesday of next week. So Conscious Corner and Each One Teach One. Everybody have a good evening.
Thank you, sir. All right. Thank you, family. Yeah.